This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
First of all, on the farm show this morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 860, that's up 3.75. March wheat trading at 879.75, up 4. December corn now trading at 741.5, down a half. May corn trading at 742, down a quarter. November soybeans now trading at 1545, down a nickel. January beans trading at 1544.25, down a nickel. The overnight crude oil market, 50 cents lower at 91.89. The Brent crude, 31 cents lower at 114.19. The December gold contract, a dollar lower at $1,764. The U.S. dollar index, 0.076 higher at 80.027. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 864.25, up 3.25. March wheat ended at 875.75, up 4.5. May wheat ended at 876.5, up 4.75. December corn yesterday ended at 742, unchanged. March corn ended at 742.25, up a quarter. May corn ended at 736.5, up a quarter. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1550, down 1. January beans ended at 1549.25, up 1.25. March beans ended at 1504.25, up 2.25. October soybean meal yesterday ended at 478.10, down 4. December meal ended at $471, down 16. January meal ended at 466.50, down 12. October soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.82, up 34. December oil ended at 51.25, up 32. January oil ended at 51.61, up 34. December oats yesterday ended at 3.78, up 7.5. March oats ended at 3.82.5, up 7.5. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon. Non-commercial selling pushed corn and soybean values lower. Northern Western Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids down 6 cents at 716 to 732. Soybeans were steady to 6 lower at 1512 to 1531. Central Illinois Grain Dealers quoted their corn bids down 10 cents at 727 to 745. Soybeans were steady to 3 lower at 1531 to 1543. Corn bids in southern Illinois were 8 to 9 cents lower at 736 to 754. Soybeans were steady to 3 lower, 1521 to 1544. And wheat was mostly 3 cents lower at 824 to 844. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were mostly steady at 1556 to 1566. Basis was 5 cents lower to unchanged at 5 to 15 cents over the November option. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 488.60 to 492.60. That's $1.40 to $4.40 higher. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were down 5 to 6 cents at 746 to 757. At 746 to 757. Basis was 1 cent higher to unchanged at minus 14 to minus 15 under the December. Distillers dried grains with solubles was offered at 270 to 280. That's unchanged. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their corn bids 5 cents lower at 730 to 735, with basis 1 cent higher at minus 12 to minus 7 the December. Soybeans ended steady to 4 cents higher at 1548 to 1549. Basis was 1 to 4 higher at 3 to 2 cents under the November. New crop wheat prices were steady to a penny higher at 807 to 811, with basis steady at 34 to 30 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators quoted their corn bids 5 to 6 lower, 702 to 743. These elevators raised their soybean prices 1 to 3 cents, with quotations at 1562 to 1564. Soybeans were 5 cents higher at 821 to 822, and milo was down 6 at 691 to 692. Contract bids to producers for January delivery for corn at in the northern western Illinois was at 724 to 738. Soybean contracts were written at 1526 to 1536. In central Illinois, January contracts 739 to 759, with soybeans 1539 to 1555. In southern Illinois, contract bids for January delivery on corn 737 to 772, soybeans at 1533 to 1562, and July delivered soft red of winter wheat from 795 to 811. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs ended at 81.90, up 42. December hogs ended at 76.80, down 7. February hogs ended at 82.60, up 30. October cattle yesterday ended at 124.70, up $1.35. December cattle ended at 126.72, up 32. February cattle ended at 130.12, up 35. October feeder cattle yesterday ended at 144.70, down 12. November feeders 146.70, up 40. January feeders ended at 149.32, up 17. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. On the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hog report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis ended 8 cents higher, with a base price range of $78 to $80, a weighted average of $78.88. The Illinois direct barrel and gilt market was steady to a $2 higher today at $54 to $58. Receipts in Illinois, 13,310 head. The Illinois direct slaughter sows traded mostly steady to $2 higher. Sows under 400 pounds, 29 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds, 31 to 36, and over 500 pounds, 34 to $38. Today's estimated sow receipts, 900 head. In the USDA National Carlot Pork Report, trading was slow to moderate, with light to mostly moderate demand and mostly light offerings. The calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.40 higher at $85 to $69. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday was 434,000. A week ago, 426,000. A year ago, 424,000. A week today, total 869,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Tuesday, 127,000. A week ago, 125,000. A year ago, 130,000. Week-to-date total, 255,000. In the USDA estimated box beef cutout values, those values were firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Choice carcasses were 63 cents higher at 191.20, while select was up 87 at 177.29. We had 180 close day and 58 trim loads. The opening report for United Producers Auction in Shelbyville has estimated receipts at 321 head. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $1.50 lower. And slaughter Holstein steers traded steady. Choice slaughter steers 119 to 124.25, with select and choice steers 118. Choice Holstein slaughter steers 110 to 114.75. Choice slaughter heifers 119 to 123, with select and choice heifers 116 to 118. On Monday at the Arthur Sale Barn, their weekly hay auction had 1,047 bales, or 36.50 tons. Small squares of alfalfa and alfalfa mixed grass traded steady, with grass hay 50 lower, wheat straw mostly $1 lower. Premium quality alfalfa $6 to $7.50 per bale, with large squares at $95. Good quality alfalfa $5.75, with large squares $40. Good quality mixed grass $4 to $5.25, with fair quality $3.75. Large squares of fair quality mixed grass at $42, with the large rounds at $50. Good quality wheat straw at $3.25, with large squares $25. This is Ken McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.94, up 1.5. For block cheese, $2.10, unchanged. For barrel cheese, $2.06, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $21.01. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.24. For November, $7.29. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.24. For November, $7.26. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.39. For November, $15.57. Wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.12. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.24. Corn at Scottville, $7.24. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.39. Wheat at Scottville, $8.12. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for your Wednesday, sunny skies, cooler, high temperatures today in the mid-50s. We will have northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, Thursday, becoming cloudy and warmer, high temperatures in the mid-60s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy and warmer with a chance of showers Friday night through Saturday night. Low temperatures in the low 50s, high temperatures in the low 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure rising, partly cloudy skies, 39 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
If you want new flooring before the holidays, you need to head to Quality Flooring for 25-ounce nylon carpet with three colors to choose from, just $11.79 per square yard, including 8-pound pad. That's right, just $11.79 per square yard, including the 8-pound pad. The new building on Route 16 is going up fast, but for now, head to their temporary location on Route 4 just south of McKay Napa Auto Parts in Gillespie. Quality you can stand on.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman, an analyst with Water Street Solutions, and we talked about the recent uptick in the grain trade, and he explained.
Well, it's a combination of factors. No one big driving factor. We have seen a lot of fund liquidation in the past, and the funds are really following seasonal charts, which do put in a bottom around this time of year, right around the USDA crop report. They also are showing signs of a technical bottom hitting some major chart objectives, but then yesterday holding key support. And once they held that key support level, the funds decided to come back in and do some buying. Overall, we're still in a sideways trading pattern, which has been holding over a little bit over the past week or so. So it's not a long-term pattern, but they're just kind of in this holding pattern until they see USDA's numbers on Thursday. We may be able to get a little bit of a clue of which way they're leaning by looking at the wheat market. The wheat market actually started to firm yesterday and didn't struggle with as much weakness because traders are not worried about a bearish production surprise in the wheat market because we already know what the size of the wheat crop is, so no real surprises there. However, USDA is expected to cut global production and probably increase its feed usage, so it's a little bit safer to go ahead and take some ownership in the wheat market as far as the traders are concerned. On corn and soybeans, they're still afraid, particularly this year when yields are so variable. What if USDA gives us a big bounce in the yield on Thursday? So it could be one of those things that if USDA doesn't give us that big bounce, if it just falls within expectations, that we could see kind of a sigh of relief buying come in since we seem to have already confirmed a seasonal low. On the other hand, if USDA has a bearish surprise for the traders, then we could go back down and retest those lows.
Do you have any idea what Thursday's report will show?
Well, the average trade guess, as we look at it, is basically looking for to pay USDA to peg the crop, the corn crop, just shy of 10.6 billion bushels. I'm looking for about 400,000 less than that, basically because I see much smaller harvested acreage. But I'm not sure USDA will reduce their harvested acreage much in this report. I'm about 3.5 million acres below USDA in harvested acres, and that would explain the difference. On soy, and that would equivalate, in my opinion, to a yield just between 122 and 123. On soybeans, the trade is looking for a crop that's closer to 2.77 billion bushels. That's up about 140 million or so from last month. And I'm looking for an increase of around 120 million. And of course, USDA found 38 million in last year's crop in its September stocks report.
Do you know how many acres have been zeroed out by the insurance companies?
That is not a number that's widely available yet at this point. That data becomes more widely available as we get into October and in November, and that's why I'm looking for harvested acreage numbers to see more of an adjustment as we get into the November report, and then depending on when the data is available, it may actually be the January report.
Yeah, that they won't come out with that until the whole thing's in the bin, right?
Yeah, exactly right. And with as variable a crop as we have and with the harvested acreage situation, the January report could be full of surprises this year. And so that's one to be watching. And if we're trading low ahead of it, the greater odds would be a big upswing. If we're trading higher, then it could be a drop. But that January report could be very volatile.
That was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. On the AM Live program Monday, we talked to Angie Eckert of Eckert's Orchards of St. Clair County. She commented that the soil they have in their area has worked well for their operation.
Well, we've been doing it for, over 100 years, so I'd like to say yes. It's pretty rich ground, and, we keep our trees in the ground about 20 years, and then we'll pull them out, grow kind of a rest crop, maybe, something to return some nutrients to the soil, and then get ready to plant again. So sometimes a hillside might be peaches for a long period of time, then it'll be rested for 2-3 years, and then we might put apple back in there. But so far, we've been doing well on these soils.
The September and October rainfall in parts of the Midwest have dense patches of volunteer corn up and growing. Generally, that would be a good thing, as it would winter kill off. But as Todd Gleason reports, those wanting to sow wheat may need to control the corn.
The cold front slipping an icy finger into the Midwest this week might do the job of frosting off volunteer corn in fields yet to be sown to wheat this fall. If it doesn't, then before those fields are sown, Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says farmers might be advised to do something about the volunteer corn. Hager writes in this week's Illinois Crops Bulletin that doing a little tillage is option number one.
If tillage could effectively control the emerged corn, certainly that's an option that farmers could consider. Others have asked about trying to control the volunteer corn chemically. And so in the article that we published in the bulletin, we went through a few choice options that farmers could consider for effective control of volunteer corn. One, of course, would be glyphosate. It would be very effective at controlling corn. However, it would not be effective if the volunteer corn came from a corn field that was grown to a glyphosate-resistant hybrid in 2012. If that's the case, then the farmers would have to look at alternative herbicides. One that could potentially be used would be gramoxone.
Hager says while gramoxone many times fails to control a first stand of corn a farmer might want to replant, it generally works well on volunteer corn at this time of year.
Now, of course, we'd have to also bring into consideration we wouldn't be able to tank mix gramoxone with things, obviously not with atrazine, and not with metribuzin either, simply because metribuzin is not labeled for a pre-plant application before wheat. So it would need to be gramoxone by itself.
There are other products farmers might consider to control volunteer corn too, says Hager.
Things like the post-grass herbicides, Post or Post Plus, Fusion, Fusilade, Select, Assure 2. These products are very effective on controlling volunteer corn, but each of those materials has a rotational interval, or a specified number of days that must elapse between when the application is made and when a rotational crop such as winter wheat can be sown in these fields. And quite simply, the rotational interval for those products is way too long to allow them to be used before we plant wheat. There is one exception to that, a product called Targa. The label of Targa does allow the application, a pre-plant application before wheat to be made, with essentially no waiting interval between the application and planting.
One other note from Aaron Hager. If you plan to sow wheat in fields where one or more herbicides previously was applied in 2012, be sure to check the label of each herbicide applied for information on rotational intervals. He says most rotational intervals are based solely on time, but rotational intervals for some herbicides can be lengthened based on other factors, things like soil pH and droughty conditions. I'm Todd Gleason.
Key export promotion programs have lapsed or will soon expire at the end of the 2008 Farm Bill last week. While some impacts won't be felt immediately, the longer-term picture is not good without a new Farm Bill. Two key export programs expired. Danny Murphy is incoming president of the American Soybean Association.
The FMD program, which does market enhancement and market promotion, and the export guarantee program that helps as we export products with interest rates and all to fund those countries their purchases.
The MAP market access program is similar to the Foreign Market Development FMD program, and MAP does not expire until January the 1st. But the loss of the Foreign Market Development Program and export guarantees hurts right now.
Many other countries have similar programs to that and actually fund at a much greater level than we do, so we'll almost immediately be at a disadvantage in some of those foreign markets.
But Murphy says it could be worse.
Because of the drought in the United States here, markets are, world supplies are at a low level. But again, most of these market promotion programs are building for the long term, for the future, and it won't always be that way, and we're going to have to compete to export our products.
Murphy points out that tens of thousands of jobs depend on those exports. Nearly 60% of United States soybeans and their byproducts are exported, and without a farm bill or some action soon, producers will be at a clear disadvantage in foreign markets. Demand for grain remains strong, but global stocks remain tight, so grain prices may increase again soon. The Chicago Board of Trade shows a 13% decrease in corn prices, but Morgan Stanley head of commodities research, Hussein Al-Adina, says corn may rally to $10 before this time next year, since cattle and hog producers have not culled herds as feed costs have risen. A Bloomberg News survey says corn may get as high as $8.75 a bushel before next year's Northern Hemisphere harvest. Still, with livestock producers looking to substitute other grains for feed, Aladina says wheat prices will be supported. Gainsboro Managing Director David Shepard says it's the calm before the storm with world grain markets, as Russia and the Ukraine are running out of exportable surpluses and France is selling into recent tenders. Aladina says inventories are the tightest they have been in his lifetime, and the world can't afford anything below trend line yields in Argentina, Brazil, and the United States. Once again, we'll remind you, October is Pork Month. We are giving away $20 worth of pork certificates to five different winners. You can register email only. Email your name and mailing address to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. You must be 18, one entry per household, and you're not eligible if you've won something from WSMI Radio over the past 30 days. A random drawing will determine the winners, and the winners will be announced during the farm show on Friday morning. So once again, email your name and mailing address to Randy at WSMIRadio.com. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat, 867.5, up 3.25. March wheat trading at 878.5, up 2.75. December corn now trading at 741.25, down 3/4. March corn trading at 741.25, down a penny. November beans trading at 1545.25, down 4.75. January beans trading at 1544.75, down 4.5. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.